Welcome to the Continuous Delivery Podcast. My name is Zarar.
I'm Hino.
I'm Cheesy.
I'm Chubba.
Hey guys, my boss just sent me an email and he wants to measure developer productivity using some sort of a metric. I don't know how to respond to this email. Anybody want to help me out?
Productivity, wow. So what does productivity mean for a developer? Does it mean lines of code? Does it mean what? For me, it means how rapidly can we take a product person's idea and get it in front of users. And so I would continuously go back to the Dora metrics. But if we get even more granular, how does an individual developer become more productive at coding? And so maybe that's also what you're talking about. Zarar, which is it?
Oh, I don't know. I just got this email. He just wants an answer right now. You're not helping me with that answer at all, by the way.
Yeah, so measuring an individual developer, probably not a good idea. But I know that a lot of teams that I work with like to talk about Dora metrics and measure themselves there.
So I definitely agree with Cheesy that it's not very valuable to measure individual developer productivity. That doesn't mean that individual developer productivity cannot improve, and there's no techniques that you could use to basically, make people go faster, right? I'm just thinking about, for instance, when you're making changes to a code base and you kind of need to massage that code base to allow you to add a new feature in a nice way without messing up too much. Then refactoring techniques are very valuable. They help you go an awful lot faster. If you are using IDEs, for instance, or an environment or tools that don't allow you to do that automatically and that require you to cut and paste all the time, then you're prone to making mistakes. It takes longer. You would even be discouraged to make those refactorings that make you go faster and keep your code clean. So all of those things will really help your productivity go up. And if that individual productivity goes up, you would see that reflected in the team productivity as well. And that's what you should be looking at.
Refactoring is important. And I think tools like IntelliJ and the entire JetBrains suite of tools are amazing at this. And I have never experienced a better development environment than that. We always talk about safe automated refactorings as something that can really improve productivity and keep your code clean over the long run. When is it a good time to refactor your code?
I would say that any point in time when you touch a piece of code, and I would quote the Boy Scout rule here, always leave your code in a better shape than you found it. And there is very, very, very few code that I've seen in my career that cannot be refactored or cannot be improved when it's touched.
I'll even go a little bit further. When is a good time to refactor? You should never not refactor. So in other words, even if you're just going in to add some small behavior to a system that exists already, the way that I typically would go about entering that would be to refactor it sort of in, if you will. So, which kind of doesn't make sense in the purest definition of refactoring, but constantly paying attention to the technical details in the design of your code is the way to do it, and to be meticulous about moving things, fixing things, making things better the moment that you realize it's not ideal, instead of procrastinating and putting it off. Procrastinating and putting it off is what leads to the large refactoring concepts or refactoring stories or things like that are very high risk, in my opinion.
If you find yourself hacking a new feature or a new piece of functionality into your code, then you're missing out on an opportunity to make that code better, make it more understandable, make it easier to maintain. So this is ultimately what Cheesy is talking about.
I like to think of refactoring as just a normal part of development. So it's very important, I feel, that to distinguish that. Not distinguish that and not say, oh, I'm going to write a feature today and tomorrow I will spend time refactoring it. Instead of saying, let's make a change, implement a feature, and then do some refactoring to clean up, maybe the mindset should be refactor first so that the change you're about to make is easier. That way you're always kind of ahead of the game.
I'm not sure if the listeners are familiar with the Gilded Rose kata. I would like to point to that exercise, to exactly what Zarar was saying, because that exercise is exactly about practicing exactly that habit where you have a piece of code, and before you adding that functionality that in that kata is described, first refactor the code. And if you do that, then what I found when I used to be a developer, that I get this extreme satisfaction that my change is much, much easier to do than if I would have to touch or get into a very, very messy code.
We've talked about when we should refactor, but I want to talk about some of the smells that I have seen around this idea of refactoring. So some problems that I have seen is whenever people let a lot of legacy technical debt build up, and they believe that refactorings then are really large things. Something that you have to go ask the product owner to do, and you have to actually create like refactoring stories to do. And in my opinion, that is probably one of the worst things that you could possibly ever do. So I don't think we should ever have to ask for permission to refactor. Secondly, I think creating refactoring stories is very, very problematic as well. And the reason I say that is because it tends to be really, really high risk. So what should you do if you've got a mess of a code base and you really want to improve it? What I would suggest then is each time you go into that code base, just do a little bit to make it just a little bit better. Back to what somebody said about the Boy Scout rule. But I think that's a much better approach. So every user story, let's say my user story is a day or so, maybe even a day and a half, I should feel the liberty to spend an extra hour, maybe an extra 30 minutes, an extra 45 minutes, an extra few minutes here, an extra few minutes there, just to continuously improve that code base in a nice, safe way with tests using automated refactoring tools.
And I would like to add and point out something that the Cheesy hinted to is the necessity for tests. Because without them, refactoring is almost impossible. And I would like to go a little bit back historically, what I noticed as an evolution of refactoring and how the business folks or product owners used to react to refactoring. It used to be a I don't want to say curse word, but it used to be something very negative, unfortunately. And that was because in some of those systems, there were no automated tests. So anytime a developer had to touch a piece of code, there were always risks, and that change was associated with a fairly extensive manual testing effort. And of course, when that's happening, every product owner is having cold sweats when they hear that the developer changing code without the safety of these tests. But nowadays, if a development team follows the practices of having the proper unit tests, having the proper component tests, and so on and so forth, then now refactoring is actually a tool to keep your code base always at the minimum that just requires for that given functionality. And if this is practiced, hopefully by time we can turn this word refactoring into something positive.
There's something else associated with, or that is driving that fear of product owners or other people involved in the process to basically be a little bit anxious when it comes down to refactoring. Quite a lot of people feel that once they've built something, they need to let it sit there and never touch again. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. It's almost like there is an idea that if you need to touch a piece of code that you've written in the past, that means that you didn't do it well the first time. That is driving this other idea as well, that before you start writing a code, you need to make sure that you are including all of the possible changes that might possibly come at you in the next 2 months, 3 months, maybe 5 years. And really doing this over design to ensure that all of those scenarios that might potentially happen, most likely will not, but might potentially happen, need to be taken into account into the code. It's a combination of those two things that is discouraging the refactoring that we need in order to keep our code clean and in order to go fast as well.
Yeah, related to that is this mindset that a refactoring is a really, really large thing. Again, that's part of why people create stories or whatever it might be. But the safe refactoring is when you take a lot of very, very small steps, running those tests each time. Something back to what Chaba said just a few moments ago, which is that without tests, then that it's problematic. But I'll split that up just a bit. I think manually refactoring without automated tools is pretty much always risky. But I think if we have the right tool sets, we were talking about IDEs earlier, if we have the right development tools, the right refactoring capabilities, it can be done in baby steps safely. And if you don't have tests and you have code that's not real easy to get tests around, you can safely make some very small steps that will be that to allow you to create that hook so that you can get your first tests into the system and then continue to refactor your way through it.
Yeah, I think that's the key thing, the small part, because by definition, by Martin Fowler's definition, at least, the refactorings are very small changes. They are small behavior preserving changes. I think what Chaba said earlier is interesting too, because when product owners or anybody hears the word refactoring, in their mind, they're thinking of is probably a redesign. And of course, that should scare product people who are usually paying for the team or they have some money involved, basically. So if you go to a product owner, I want to do a refactoring. Well, in their mind, they're thinking, well, it's probably like 4 to 5 days of effort, probably will take longer, it's probably a redesign, there's probably risk involved, and they're hesitant to actually come anywhere close to it, and I totally understand that. So this small behavior-preserving refactorings are key.
One of the things that I've seen is that some people consider rewriting a certain component as refactoring, right? So you have a component A that is messy, that needs to be cleaned up. So what they're doing is they start looking at, okay, so what is the functionality that is happening and that is basically implemented by component A? And they start creating a component B that does similar things, and they start writing the tests and they do the full design in a way that they feel this time is going to be an awful lot better, of course, with all the new information that they have. And then they flip out the component A for component B. I want to point that out as well, that this is one of those problems that is introduced and that makes refactoring take a long time.
And well, that's not refactoring.
I agree. Absolutely. This is not refactoring. But I just wanted to throw it out there to our listeners who consider that to be refactoring as well. That's not what we are talking about. What we are talking about is changing the live code that we're using, not rewriting something on the side to then eventually flip it in.
Can we actually talk about the cost of not refactoring or the cost of writing a upfront, like over-design something and what that causes to a code base? Because I am guilty. I used to be guilty of that when I was a developer and had my fair share of over-designing things and remembering how much we were carrying the burden of that code complexity throughout the lifetime of that product. And no matter how much we thought and we thought that we were smart to, I guess, probably remember those architectures which try to think of everything, no matter how smart we thought we are, it was always way too complex for the problem.
Yeah, especially if we want to be able to rapidly release our code, then having our code be simple, clean, and easy to understand, easy to extend is paramount. And the best way to do that is to mercilessly refactor our code all of the time. And so again, what is the penalty of not being able to of not doing refactoring? Well, it is, first of all, not being able to release your code rapidly. That's my experience. Number two, increasing the risk of making changes, likely introducing more defects.
And that concludes this edition of the Continuous Delivery Podcast. Goodbye.